Hello and welcome to this audio on Lectio Divina, an ancient way of Catholic prayer. My name is Derek Barr, and I am on the faculty for the lay division of St. John Vianney Theological Seminary. My hope is that this audio sample gives you some context and excitement for the upcoming year one of biblical school. Reading the Bible is truly one of the most unique experiences there is. It is the only book that we have that is written in antiquity, where we can actually go to the author, to the very source of it, and ask him how he intends to benefit us to benefit from the words he has written and given to us, how we can understand him better, how we can even grow closer in our relationship with him, and what he even wills for us in our lives today through the very words that he gave to us so long ago. When the Holy Spirit gave the inspired word through the words and writings of men, he knew every one of you already. He knew each of you individually. And he speaks to each of us even now in those words that he gave millennia ago. This view of Scripture is strong in the tradition of the Church. Pope Leo XIII said, "In the sacred books, the Father who is in heaven comes lovingly to meet his children and talks with them." St. Ambrose says, "We have been given sacred Scripture so that God and man may talk together. For we speak to him when we pray. We hear him when we read the divine sayings or scriptures." The Catechism of the Catholic Church also encourages us to combine prayer with the Holy Scriptures as we read in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2653, "The Church forcefully and specially exhorts all the Christian faithful to learn the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ by frequent reading of the divine scriptures. Let them remember, however, that prayer should accompany the reading of sacred scripture, so that a dialogue takes place between God and man. For we speak to him when we pray. We listen to him when we read the divine oracles." One temptation we sometimes fall into when we read the scriptures is to read them like any other book, like a novel, or maybe even just for entertainment. Sometimes we forget the Word of God is not just static words on a page, but are living words that remain relevant throughout all the ages to each of us, even individually, and brings us light and life. We sometimes look at the Scriptures in just an academic way, or just as a historical drama, like we would other texts, like Homer's The Iliad and the Odyssey, or the historical works of Josephus. Now, when I was in high school, it seemed like 1,000 years ago, in the days even before the wireless remote control, I took a class called The Bible as Literature in a public high school, the goal of which was to read the Bible in a secular way, and simply to understand and enjoy it just for the great and incredible piece of literature it is, but without morality or spirituality. It is a great piece of literature. I'm biased, but I think it's the greatest. But you lose the fullness of its benefit when you exclude its primary author, who is God. It is truly amazing that we can commune with the author as we read his words to us. We can actually pray using the scriptures to talk to God and to hear him talk to us. The ancients of the church called this type of prayer Lectio Divina, or divine reading. And you can see how appropriate then that we begin each class this year at the biblical school with not just reading the Bible, but praying the Bible. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2725, refers to prayer as a battle. Many Christians today are losing this battle because they don't understand or know how to pray. They do not believe they have time for it, or they don't believe that prayer lends itself to reason, or they feel that they have failed at prayer due to a lack of results or the hearing of God's voice. This is you can find this in the Catechism, paragraphs 2726 through 2728. Coupled with this problem of prayer, there is this crisis in the Catholic Church with many Catholics not reading the scriptures individually. Vatican II's De Verbum quotes St. Jerome with, "For ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ." That's from De Verbum, paragraph 25. An October 2008 survey by the Catholic Biblical Foundation found that only 61% of United States Catholics that attend Mass have read the Bible individually in the past 12 months. But 98% of them claim to have a Bible. Only 44% of those surveyed ever used the Bible in prayer. According to the survey, although 52% find the Bible difficult, 73% find the Bible to be real, and 95% find it interesting, and 92% believe it to be true. Now, with 92% of Catholics believing the Bible to be true, but only 44% have ever used the Bible in prayer, highlights an apparent lack of instruction on how to use the Bible in prayer. And this is something that we in the biblical school want to take head on and change. We want to help you see the importance of sacred scripture in the framework of personal prayer and devotion. We can read the Bible, but to receive all the graces of reading the Bible, we must read it in prayer. Saint Faustina, in her diary, says, "There is no soul which is not bound to pray, for every single grace comes to the soul through prayer." That's from her diary, 146. Now, if you want the greatest benefit from God in your time at the biblical school, the way to achieve it is not to view it as merely just an academic endeavor, but an opportunity to encounter Christ in His holy word, which includes thinking about and speaking with Him in prayer. Catechism paragraph 102 says, "Through all the words of sacred scripture, God speaks only one single word, His one utterance in whom He expresses Himself completely. You recall that one and the same word of God extends throughout scripture, that it is one and the same utterance that resounds in the mouths of all the sacred writers. Since He who was in the beginning, God, with God, has no need of separate syllables, for He is not subject to time. So, when we study the saints, we find that they had, I guess you could say, a secret to prayer, which brings together the ways God communicates to His people. This secret leads to a two-way form of communication with God, where a person speaks to God and allows God to speak back through His Holy Scripture. This is a method known as Lectio Divina. The process of Lectio Divina has parts that are like rungs in a ladder. They are reading, or Lectio, meditation, or Meditatio, prayer, or Oratio, and contemplation, or Contemplatio. Now, those second parts are all Latin, right? So, the Latin original, and we've translated into English each one of those. Now, Lectio Divina addresses one of the main drawbacks of prayer, which is, in fact, that we just don't know how to pray. This is not a new problem, as the Apostle Paul tells us. He says, "We do not know how to pray as we ought." And we see this in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Even the apostles asked Jesus to show us how to pray in the Gospels. And Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer. Part of this problem might be that we think that we lack things in common with the Creator of the universe, leading to a difficulty in conversation. But Jesus' becoming man bridges this lack of the common, and He, as man and God, can completely identify with man in our conversations with God. We learn in John 1:1 that Jesus is the Word of God, and Jesus, being the Word, meets us and communicates with us through the Word of God spoken in the Scriptures. This method of prayer, Lectio Divina, sanctioned by the Church, for example, De Verbum, paragraph 25, Catechism, Catholic Church, paragraph 2708, brings a greater form to prayer and deeper understanding of the Scriptures. Many have a misunderstanding of what it means to pray the Scriptures. Scripture is not merely used as a primer to get one started in prayer and then laid down and abandoned for heartfelt, one-sided prayer. And careful reading of divine Scripture, through the prompting, movement, and calling of the Holy Spirit. It is the second half of the conversation, that part of the conversation where God Himself talks back to us. Prayer then becomes more than just an obligation. It is a relationship where love and life is shared with God. The frustration many feel that prayer is a one-sided conversation with a distant being that never seems to answer is lifted when we learn that we can hear God speak back to us through His Holy Scripture. This is the secret that the saints discovered, and I referenced earlier, that the saints were in fact being spoken to directly by God from Scripture being either read or proclaimed. We see several examples of this in the history of the saints. For example, Saint Antony, a saint in the 3rd century, who really started the monastic life which bore abundant fruit even today. When St. Antony was just 20 years old, he was orphaned with his sister and left a sizable estate. Antony knew that God was speaking to him about not relying on his riches, but to trust in the Lord. One day as he was thinking about this, he went to daily Mass, and St. Antony heard God speaking to him from the Scripture being read at Mass. It was from Matthew chapter 19, verses 21 and 22, which says, "Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.'" When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. St. Antony knew this was God speaking to him, and he did just this and placed his younger sister under the care of a community of women. This gospel reading absolutely changed his life. He gave up all that he had and he began a monastic life that was a model of all subsequent monastic life. Another great example of this is from one of my truly favorite saints, St. Augustine. St. Augustine, in the deepest, darkest moment of his life, as he was wrestling with rejecting his sinfulness and converting to Christianity, heard a child's voice calling out, "Tola lege, tola lege," which means take up and read. St. Augustine took up the Scriptures and read the Scripture that he first laid his eyes upon. I'm going to read a quote from his book Confessions when this occurred. "I seized, opened, and in silence read that section on which my eyes first fell. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh in concupiscence." And that's a reference also to Romans 13, verses 14 and 15. "No further would I read, nor needed I, for instantly at the end of this sentence, by a light as it were of serenity infused into my heart, all the darkness of doubt vanished away." There are a great number of stories of Francis of Assisi and numerous other saints who understood that God spoke to them directly through the Scriptures. When they followed the voice of God, which they received through the Scriptures, they became some of the greatest saints known to the Church. A great example of this is of Jesus' encounter with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, where the two disciples tell Jesus their needs, their doubts, their hopes, their fears. Jesus listens to them intently and answers them through recounting Scripture to them. This led to dialogue between the disciples and God, which always leads to communion, as Jesus breaks the bread and is revealed to them in the Holy Eucharist. Or the story of one of our first deacons, Philip, who assisted the Ethiopian eunuch in understanding Isaiah, which led to his greater conversion and baptism. It has this same effect even today. I want to change gears a bit and would now like to explain the process of this form of prayer, Lectio Divina. If you have your Denver Catholic Biblical School workbook, turn to the physical second page, and you can follow along with me, but we will be using this script. to help us with Lectio Divina every week. Dr. Tim Gray, in his book Praying Scripture for a Change, An Introduction to Lectio Divina, which I highly recommend, is widely available through many booksellers, and he likens this process to Jacob's ladder. In this prayer, prayer ladder of Lectio Divina, Jesus is the ladder that we climb to meet the Father in heaven in our prayer through the Sacred Scripture. I want to go through each rung of this ladder. The first rung of this ladder, Lectio, which means in Latin, reading, is a type of reading which is not just merely scanning Scripture and hoping something jumps out at you. It is reading it in a careful and focused manner. One must concentrate on key words, themes, and ideas that come to mind. It might be a good idea in this stage to take notes and on items that, you know, your attention is drawn to. We have given you even a place each week to do this in your workbook, if you like. It's optional, but for an example, turn to the end of the page of Lesson 1 in your workbook. So the last page of Lesson 1 in your workbook, turn there and look for the words, hearing the word, just over halfway down. So that's a space there that you could use in your workbook as sort of a prayer journal. Jotting down notes in this section. Again, this is something just for you. This is not homework to be turned in each week, but these are for your reflections in class during Lectio Divina. Now, flip back to the physical page 2, the Lectio Divina page. Now, it's also beneficial to read the scriptures from different translations to get a full meaning of the words used in the original language. The first step is critical, but is sometimes skipped or maybe it can just be quickly done, maybe even superficially, by those who want to rush into prayer and contemplation. The consequence is that without working a solid foundation, without reading it well, rarely is fruit the result. One must pay the proper amount of work in to carefully reading and rereading and slowly scouring Scripture line by line, by carefully extracting key words, themes and ideas from the text, then you will have the substance for the next step, in which you meditate on what you have just carefully read. Attention to detail is critical, with particular attention to the who, the what, the when, and the where. Every word is there for a reason, and plays a part in the author's artistry, as well as all repetitions and allusions. Jesus promises that we can be confident that the images we receive in this careful reading of Scripture that are given to us by the Holy Spirit, so that we can learn about Christ as we see in his example on the road to Emmaus, taking the disciples through the Old Testament Scripture, showing them all that pertained to him. Now that we have done the heavy lifting, I guess you could say, of reading the Scriptures carefully, we can now enjoy the fruits of our labor in meditating on what we have harvested. The next rung is meditation, or meditatio. Now, this is not the New Age form of meditation where one empties the mind to come into touch with something deeper, like we would see in Eastern spirituality. This is a traditionally Christian form of meditation, where we open our minds and fill them with knowledge, understanding, and truth. We fill our minds with Christ himself. Catholic writer G.K. Chesterton said the object of opening the mind, as of opening the mouth, is to shut it again on something solid. Christian meditation is meditation that makes full use of the intellect in an effort to understand God's word and to hear God's voice. In Lectio, we learn of the great journalistic questions of who, what, when, and where. In Meditatio, we seek to understand why. In this phase of Lectio Divina, we must be cautious that we don't try to force our own interpretation. We must be careful not to read Scripture in a fashion that violates the Church teachings on faith and morals. we must interpret Scripture in line with the church teaching. Secondly, if the church does not take a stand on a particular interpretation of a reading, we cannot demand that fellow Christians agree with our own personal interpretation of Scripture. The main emphasis on meditatio is to do what the saints did, to put oneself into the Scripture or see oneself as the intended recipient of the Scripture passage. St. Ignatius of Loyola would imagine himself in the Bible stories that he read for this first-person account. St. Therese would put her name in place of Martha's name, such as when Jesus was correcting Martha. Now that we have read the Scripture well and have meditated on what we have read intently, thinking on it with great focus and intentionality, it is time now to bring it to God in prayer. And this is the third stage, oratio. This is where we turn to God and ask Him what He wants us to learn from this passage. It is important that we are completely honest with God. Trust me, He can handle it. This is our opportunity to let God know what we are afraid of, what we might be learning about ourselves through God's inspiration, and what God needs to work on and with us, work on in us and with us, I should say. Now, this is often the part where most people quit because it can be the scariest step. This is where one has to come face to face with his or her own faults and trust God enough to give Him all of his or her hopes, needs, and fears. Often we are fearful here because we are unsure that what we will hear from, that we will hear God properly, I guess I should say, when He talks back to us. Maybe we might not like what He says. Maybe He calls us to change something that we really like, or calls us to do something that maybe terrifies us. Now, it could happen, but rest assured that God is always a good God. He loves us, and we know specifically that God will not contradict the faith or morals of the church in anything that He says or commands. He's the one that gave us those faith and morals. Now, it's important that we must keep centered on the full teaching of the church. Once one feels more at ease and confident with the Holy Spirit working with him or her in prayer, one can then move to the next step, contemplatio, or contemplation, where we do absolutely nothing but rest in God's presence, where we just shut up and be with God. Now, with me, that's sometimes a problem. But it's something that I'm working on, something that we all need to work on, where we can just be with God. Contemplation is something that is intensely spiritual, which is difficult to explain in worldly terms. That being said, this is the only rung that is completely effortless. Effortless because it is a gift from God outside of our will and abilities. After all of the work of the first three steps, this step is a step of rest, where one rests in God. I love how Dr. Tim Gray puts it when he likens it to taking a long hike and reaching the top of a beautiful mountain that overlooks a breathtaking view of God's creation, or lovingly watching your child in peaceful sleep. That is this gaze of love. In contemplation, we receive the true desire of our heart, God Himself. When God gives Himself to us, we receive the love and the joy of the Holy Spirit within us. Dr. Gray makes a great comparison that this is not the fizzy soda pop of New Age faddishness, but the mature wine of the Holy Spirit. Contemplation relies upon diligent work in the first three steps. It is the gift given by the Holy Spirit to those who love. Contemplation is the result and experience of love. Learning to walk in love is not something that's just achieved overnight. It is often a lifelong process, but achievable if we work with the Holy Spirit in increasing our ability or capacity to love. So where do we start? How do we pick a scripture? Well, one can start with the daily readings or the Psalms, picking one book of scripture, such as the Gospel of John, and reading two or three verses each day until you finish it. While you're in class, this will be easy, as every week you'll have a specific scripture to read for Lectio Divina. Picking a few verses of your weekly reading, scripture reading assignment will be very rewarding in your studies, too, as you're reading and studying for class, that maybe you take a few moments to do some Lectio Divina on a passage that really strikes you. Now, how do we bring all this together and do it as a group in class? At the Biblical School, we begin every class in prayer with a group session of Lectio Divina. Now, to close this talk today, I would like to lead you all in a sample group Lectio Divina. I'm going to begin and go through this prayer just as I would in class. So I ask that you open your workbook to the physical page 2, where at the top you will see Lectio Divina. And you should always have your workbook open to this page as we begin each class. This is the script that we follow each time. So now let's close our eyes, if it's safe to do so, and begin to picture being in the presence of Jesus. Imagine his gaze of love towards you and the peace and tranquility that he's offering you at this very moment in his presence. Because we're at the beginning and our first lecture in year one of the Biblical School is about the beginning, I thought it would be very fitting that the scripture that you will use for this first sample Lectio Divina is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Now I'm going to begin our Lectio Divina section. So go to page 2 of your workbook, but also have open John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are mindful that we are always in your presence. Jesus, we know that you are here and that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that we belong to you. Thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to our hearts today in Scripture. Come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts to the truth of your word as we read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Show us what you want us to see in this passage. The first reading is from the Revised Standard Version, Second Catholic Edition. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The second reading is from the Douay Rheims translation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was made nothing that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We now reflect on what the Holy Spirit is saying to us in this scripture. So now we would be just focusing on what was read. This is the meditatio stage. So here we are focusing on those things that stood out to us in the reading. Thinking about them. Thinking about their context. Thinking about what God is trying to get us to understand. Let us silently speak to the Lord in response to his word. This is the oratio portion of the Lectio Divina. This is where we tell the Lord what's on our hearts from what we just read. Asking the Lord what he wants. Telling him what we feel he's leading us to. Telling him our fears, our joys, what we're thankful for, what we need help with. And we do all this in relation to what the reading was. Now the last step, contemplatio. Let us now rest in the presence of the Lord. As I mentioned, this is the easiest of the steps. This is simply just being with the Lord, being in his presence. Just being in that loving gaze with him. Lord, we thank you for this time spent with you, reflecting on your word. In you we live and move and have our being. We ask you to give us the grace to be doers of your word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so that's what we will be praying. Every class, different scripture, of course, each time. But it's to prepare us, to prepare our hearts to hear his holy word. Now, that's it for this class. I want to thank you for listening. And please visit our website at sjvlaydivision.org. Again, sjvlaydivision.org, sjvlaydivision is one word, for more information and to register for classes. God bless you all. Thank you.